6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday. We're in Central Time right now in the great Lone Star State of Texas. And, you know, what can I say? There's just a lot of good things about Texas besides the fact that Dale Mitchell was just talking about the fact his Sun Air purifiers are made in this Lone Star State. Wednesday, August 24th, 2022, we have probably garnered a whole new battery of listeners right now from the Texas Nationalist Movement. And the abbreviated form of the purpose of the movement is called Texit, much like the British Brexit. When they left the EU, Texit is when we basically get away from corrupt D.C. And I got two examples for you. Attorney General Ken Paxton said yesterday on Breitbart with Alex Marlowe, Texas's busing of migrants to New York City and D.C. was genius. You know, it's amazing. He talks about, you know, these two Democrat mayors, Eric Adams and Muriel Bowser, you know, the mayor of D.C., and they're complaining about the burden of having to deal with what we in Texas are having to deal with. See, there's reason number one, common cause. You know, everybody knows that there's a big immigration problem at our border. Meanwhile, the governor and state comptroller of Texas took steps to force Harris County to reinstate millions of dollars stripped from the county's constable offices or face the consequences. The action comes after two constables' offices filed complaints regarding the police defunding action taken the county's commissioner's court. The Harris County commissioners implemented a policy to stop constables from automatically rolling over funds from one fiscal year to the next. According to Fox 26, that resulted in the movement of more than $3 million from law enforcement funds to the general fund. Why? So they could spend it the way they want and not protect we the people. Here's two reasons right here why an independent Texas could deal with this situation more effectively than this uniparty, what everybody wants to call two-party. I call it a uniparty because it's always the same result. It's the status quo. It's the system. It's the garbage. That's why we have Daniel Miller with us on the show. He's the president of the Texas Nationalist Movement. And I'm going to have to put in my plug here. I got involved. I'm telling you, I've learned some things. You want to talk about getting involved in your community, folks? This is a classic example of how to go to Austin and make a difference. I am just so blown away with the education I'm getting here. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I became a local coordinator, too, so that means I'm responsible for putting meetups. That's what we call our little get-togethers in the areas that we're in, and we have district directors here that are working with senators from all 31 districts. And I mean, like I said, this is just amazing, the amount of information you learn. If other states knew the stuff that you were sharing when you become a supporter and you get involved, it just boggles the conscience why more and more people aren't doing this.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're seeing it everywhere. And I got to tell you, first and foremost, before I talk about that, let me just go ahead and say how great it is to be with you on the 26th anniversary of my crossing of the line in the sand. It was today, on this day in 1996.
Hallelujah.
I know, right? It's really nice. But, you know, look, there are other states that are working on this. I mean, we consciously created the TNM in 2005. To be a political advocacy organization solely focused on independence and making it happen. There was a lot of thought that went into it. There was a lot that we had to figure out, but, you know, we started out with a good foundation, with a solid mission, a solid set of principles, and a solid organizational strategy to get the job done. And we're seeing it right now. Even today, in other states, you had in New Hampshire, as a matter of fact, of all places, you know, they tried to get a constitutional amendment passed. They had seven legislators file legislation, I think it was CACR 32, that would have pulled New Hampshire out of the union. And they had an election complaint filed by some Karen. Literally, her name was Karen, not even joking, trying to get them disqualified from the ballot for reelection because they stood up for the independence of their state. So this is a battle. This concept of self-determination, of self-government, is a battle that's being fought everywhere, not just in Texas, not just in the other states, but is being fought around the world as a counterpoint to globalism. And look, I'm just happy to play my part.
Well, and we're glad you did, because I'm learning so much about whether or not a state retains the right to secede based on either the enabling clause and all the arguments pro and con. What amazed me was learning the new statistics about the Texas Republican Convention, 90% in favor of a popular vote on the issue of Texas independence. 90% is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it was incredible. Look, July turned out to be a month of bombshell announcements, because not only did we get one plank in the Republican Party platform, we got two. And both of them passed. Even the one that passed with less passed with over 80% support. And the difference literally between the two was one had a date certain for the referendum of 2023, and the other one was open-ended as far as, you know, it just needed to happen. But then right on the heels, you know, we have that third-party polling that comes out from Survey USA that shows that 66% of likely Texas voters would vote Texas out if that election were, or if that vote were held today. So, you know, we're in a position now where all of these, you know, the narrative that has been set by the opposition, that this is somehow a fringe issue, it is not in the mainstream, those people are now on the fringe and outside of the mainstream. Texans want a vote on this issue, and when they get that vote, they will vote us out. And you think about that for a moment in the context of world history. For a year now, I've gone around and said the next 100 years of Texas history are being written right now, you know, over these coming weeks and months. And it's literally happening before our eyes. We are so close in our generation to seeing Texas reassert its status as an independent nation. And I'm here for it.
Well, yeah, we all are. And the thing is that when San Bernardino County, California, even voted to get away from the state of California, which is rather unusual, you know, that you would have an independent county within the state basically telling Sacramento to go piss up a drainpipe. But the thing is, and I like to use that phrase because my late father used to say that all the time, because when you do that, it all comes trickling back down on you. So, you know, you kind of give the state a dose of their own medicine, because we see all of this. And I've just, you know, listening to some of these videos that you've got up here and watching these guys talk about the fact that, you know, we have so much commonality when you look at every single issue that everybody, including all of my callers, whether they're part of Texas or not, and they want Texas independence or not, they're in other states and they're seeing the same thing. Federal government overreach. And this is driving everybody crazy.
Well, and it should. Look, you know, I always defer back to Article 1, Section 2 of the Texas Constitution. And while some people may think, well, that's just Texas, it's really not. Article 1, Section 2, it has, you know, it starts with the words, all political powers inherent in the people, right? It doesn't specify the Texas people, right? It just says that all political powers inherent in the people, and it says that all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit. But the most important part of Article 1, Section 2 is at the tail end, when it says that they, the people, have at all times the inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their government in such manner as they may think expedient. Well, if it's an inalienable right, it's not exclusive to Texans, right? We have it as people that are here in Texas, and we have it, you know, we can exercise that for Texas. But it's a right that extends to anyone. It's an inalienable right, like the right to keep and bear arms, freedom of speech, freedom, you know, anything we think of as an inalienable right. That right to self-government is just as inalienable. So, you know, it's not a surprise, particularly when you look at the concept of politics of scale, it's not a surprise that it's not, you know, that it's happening everywhere. People are looking at these, you know, these political alignments and, you know, this alliance called the United States of America or whatever particular state they're in, and they're saying, wait a minute, you know, government's governed by consent of the governed, and I no longer consent because this government does not represent my values, they don't protect my rights, and so therefore, you know, we want to exercise our right of self-government, just like 140 other self-governing independent nations around the world have done since 1945.
And that's amazing, and I think people lose sight of that fact because they think that we're all just stuck in the rut and we need to just bend over and kowtow to these people in D.C. 844-769-2944 is the number to call. I know you got questions. I know you're curious, and you want to know things about, well, if Texas – and let me posit this. let's say that Texas or whatever state you happen to be in, if you're listening, okay? Let's say that you are a free, independent nation right now, and the United States government came to you, we the people of your state, that was an independent nation, and said, hey, how would you like to join the United States of America? Knowing what you know now, would you agree to it or not? Tom in Michigan, you have an answer for me?
Yeah, well, you know, we've come a long way from as far as getting away from the actual Constitution and the Republic with the, you know, what I call the unconstitutional 17th Amendment, what have you. But I had a question. I heard some talk basically the other day about, you know, states, you know, succeeding from the union, and are they planning to take their portion of the debt with them? You know, the huge national debt. What do they plan to, you know, take 1/50th of that, and how do they cut that off?
Well, that's an interesting question, Daniel. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I actually covered the question of federal debt in my book, Texit, and we answer it pretty extensively on our website, texitnow.org. But here's what it boils down to. What we've seen historically from situations like this, where you have a state or a portion separate from another country, is that ultimately it comes down to negotiation related to the federal debt. So you have some examples historically of countries that said, look, we're not going to take any portion of the debt whatsoever. And what that did was that hurt them from a financial situation internationally. Okay. So the question then becomes, if you say you're going to take it, right, if you just say, okay, look, we will take whatever portion of the federal debt that is owed, right, the question then becomes, how do you calculate it? Do you calculate it on a per capita basis? Do you calculate it as an overall percent of GDP? Or do you do it as an equal slice, like you said, the 1/50th? That becomes the starting point for negotiation related to the federal debt. Now, from the standpoint of Texas, there are two things at play that I think are pretty important, right? So you have this concept of what's called onerous debt or an exit fee that we're not obligated to pay. But Texas can effectively make a very good case as to why we probably owe 0% of a federal debt, and it's that we overpay anywhere from $103 to $160 billion annually into the federal system. So, you know, you begin those calculations and that negotiation, but the other part of that I think people lose sight of is if Texas does ultimately agree to take any portion of that debt, we also get a portion of the assets that were purchased with that debt. So, you know, if they want to say 1/50th or whatever it is, okay, well, excellent. We're going to take that in military hardware. We're going to take that in federal property, whatever that looks like. So, you know, these are always negotiated issues. If Texas does ultimately agree to take some percentage of it, we get a requisite percentage, whatever that is, of the assets. But I would argue that from a negotiating standpoint, Texas probably owes zero on the federal debt because we've been a donor state for decades.
That makes sense, Tom.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah.
You bet. Appreciate it, Tom. You know, we even have Texans listening to the show and talk show hosts that listen to the show. Alan, talk show host in Texas, here in Central Texas. Welcome to the show.
Good day, Dave and Daniel. Daniel, I've got a question. You know, if we get out from under the yoke of the federal government, does this get us out from under the yoke of, like, you know, here locally, you know, we've got an Alamo Area Council of Governments. You know, the Alamo is not even owned by the state of Texas anymore. It's now, what, a United Nations International Heritage Site. If we get rid of the feds, will we have blue helmets running around in our state?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I refer to this often. It's a question I get a lot. It's like, how can we be guaranteed that our government's going to be any better? And you know, what I refer to it as electile dysfunction, because frankly, that's what it is, right? We have some challenges here with governance. So here's what I want people to understand. What most don't is that so many of the challenges that we face here in Texas with our government, right? Whether it's you know, ridiculous nonsense out of Austin or even the counties or the municipalities is really rooted in the relationship with the federal government. And I'll give you two examples. Number one, I go back to the 86th legislative session, right, two sessions back. Almost half of all legislation, all the bills filed, referenced the federal government in some manner, right, whether it was a federal agency, a federal law, a federal regulation, a federal court case. And there are probably even more laws or more bills that were filed that were indirectly influenced but did not directly mention, right? So what that effectively means is that we've got legislation here in Texas being written or directed by 2.5 million unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., or a bunch of K Street lobbyists, okay? So you've got that issue where the federal government, there's been no real policy discussion or debate here in Texas in the absence of our relationship with the federal government. And I would posit that they, in fact, direct so much of the policy direction of Texas because of that. So that's number one. Number two that I think is also key to understanding this is if you were to walk down the street in your town right now and ask 100 people who the Speaker of the House is, probably if they could answer it, 99 out of the 100 would answer Nancy Pelosi. But almost none of them would mention Dade Phelan. The reason being is we have a 24-hour news cycle that is inundated with nothing but federal news, federal talk, federal, and it sucks all the oxygen out of the room. All of the attention of the Texas voters is focused on that circus in Washington, D.C. So consequently, what happens is we have elected officials in Austin, in our counties, in our cities, that there is no attention given to what they're doing, and so it gives them carte blanche. It gives them cover to effectively be just as radical as they want to be. You remove the federal government from that equation, and where does the attention of the Texas voter go? Well, to the government that we have now. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have a governor who, you know, wants to, you know, whose real ultimate goal is to climb the ladder and sit in the Oval Office, or, you know, legislators that want to be federal senators or federal congressmen. That goes away. So you have these people now that have to effectively serve the people of Texas under a spotlight because now they can't hide under the coattails of the federal government, and they become more responsive. Finally, and this is the bonus one, what we have seen with independence referenda around the world is the average turnout is about 85%, okay? So you have 85% voter turnout for these independence referenda, and that political engagement carries out through the Texas process. So the byproduct generally of an exit debate and an exit vote is an increased scrutiny on our governance here at home by those voters. And when you have 85% of your voters that are, you know, registered voters that are engaged in any issue, it has a tendency to clean the sewer pipes out, if you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah. Look, there's no doubt that Texas really gives us an opportunity to improve our governance here at home.
I will agree with that, Daniel. Everything has been pulled away from local. You know, I actually paid attention to what went on in my local county here, saw the major corruption. Of course, we're a kind of a weird spot here in Fredericksburg, Texas, you know, in Gillespie County. You know, more millionaires per capita than any place but Washington, D.C. now. You know, San Francisco's moved out here. I will agree. Everything needs to be brought back more local. But that would also involve getting control of media sources and newspapers and everything else. And, man, it's a big job, my friend. And I'll let you go with that. Thank you for answers.
Well, Alan, just
hey,
to
Alan,
let you know, we do have a local coordinator in Fredericksburg, by the way, if you want to visit one of their meetings. The website,
I'm sure
TNM.
I'd probably know the name if you said it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we know, Daniel?
Okay, take care, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. Anyway, we'll look that up, and I'll get with Alan. I've got his cell phone number. Trust me, Daniel, he's going to be on board here. I know he is already. The thing is I talk to so many people in grocery stores. I wear my Texas ball cap, and I constantly am getting stopped. Hey, I like your hat. And I'm like, hey, how much do you like it? So,
exactly.
You know, we get these conversations. I mean, Home Depot, the clerks there are stopping me. I mean, it's amazing when people see it and they know. And, you know, something you said in one of your speeches in your late night coffee talks, because, folks, we do this every Wednesday night. And understand that, you know, we have a huge base of supporters in the Texas nationalist movement. This is not something that, you know, we just have a few, you know, sporadic people here and there. Daniel mentioned in one of these coffee talks that we are trying to find people. We're not trying to convert so much as we're just trying to identify those who agree. Because if you find the ones who agree, we'd outnumber the ones that don't. But the problem is the hierarchy in our government right now is having a hard time. They have a little cognitive dissonance up there for something that you just mentioned, Daniel, and that they are riding on the coattails of D.C. rather than thinking about self-governance and self-preservation.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you're right. I mean, what I key in on is, you know, for a long time, we've had a massive base of support. And, you know, when I told you at the very beginning that when we founded the TNM, we did it with a very conscious design and strategy in mind. And part of that is, part of this, you know, if really Article 1, Section 2 is correct and all political power is inherent to the people, it tells you that this, at its core, must be a movement of people, right? We have to connect with people and particularly Texas voters. And so, you know, we watch those third-party poll numbers, and we've done internal polling. We used to do internal polling quarterly, I mean, through a massive set of voters. So we've always known where we are. And so, you know, what we tell our people is this. The moment we cross over that threshold and the number of Texas supporters exceeded those who were opposed, it was not a matter of converting anyone. It's not a matter of debating Texas. It's, you know, we're not looking to convince. We're looking for the convinced. Because it's really about combating the atomization from the, and that's a term that's coined by Gene Sharp, which, you know, we can have a conversation about Gene anytime. I'm a fanboy. But, you know, atomization is the thing we've had to combat, where the opposition pushes the narrative that this is fringe, this is not mainstream, it's marginal. They try to keep us separated, and we have to connect people, and that's what we do.
No doubt. And I'll tell you, the website, for those of you who want to know, is texitnow.org. That's where you can go. And in the meantime, we're going to keep Daniel on the phone for the next half hour. A little bonus time, because there's a lot of education here, folks. We'll be back after this short break here in the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chagamax, Collagen Power Plus, Oregarest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
This craft that the Strokes family had of recognizing the medicinal value of herbs by taste and then putting formulas together, knowing the herbal ingredients they needed, but putting them together in perfect proportion by taste, just like a chef would, the Strokes Heart Drops, the world-famous Strokes Heart Drops that saved my life, Jim Strokes's and many others, my dad, my list goes on and on. But those heart drops, they were developed, created 40 years ago for Jim himself after a heart attack. Now, this formula fixed my high blood pressure over 20 years ago, and I have had great blood pressure since.
Call Jay at 877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, August 24, 2022. We're in Central Time here in Texas, talking with Daniel Miller, who is president of the Texas Nationalist Movement. Now, understand something, folks. This is not a bunch of radical fringe old farts. These are people that are seriously paying attention to what is going on in D.C., and they've had enough. I mean, haven't you? I don't care what state you're in. We have Daniel here because of the fact that this group has been around since 05, and they've been watching what is going on, and they've been very carefully organizing, very carefully making decisions. They have attorneys. They have comebacks for most every single argument you could possibly have. And one of the biggest things, Daniel, that I am understanding, and if you've got any kind of a comment, 844-769-2944. Richard in Washington, stay right with us. As soon as we get done with this question, I'm going to go to you. The thing is that when people look at Social Security, I know this is a big one. They're going, well, wait a minute. I'm drawing Social Security from the federal government. If I secede from the union, what the hell's going to happen to my Social Security? That's freaking them all out. I know you got an answer for that. I had to put it in a narrative perspective here, so go ahead.
Well, I like it because it just reminds me of pretty much every Q&A that I've done for years. It's very simple. Look, here's the thing. For the longest time, that was the most asked question that we got. And it's understandable. People want to understand. They paid for years into a federal pension system. They want to know what's going to happen. So, you know, I don't have to come up with an answer. All I have to do is tell you what existing federal policy is. Okay. Federal policy is if you collect a federal pension benefit, and that would include Social Security, you can collect it no matter where you live, as long as where you live is not North Korea, Syria, Iran, or Cuba, and I think Belarus is the other country. And the reason, the rationale for that is not because of, you know, anything, you know, it's not like they're just picking and choosing countries. It's because that the United States federal government has sanctions against those countries, right? And so the transfer of funds to those countries through the banking system is not allowed. So, you know, you have retirees all the time. Hey, I want to retire to Guadalajara or whatever. And they still collect their federal pension benefits. So it primarily deals with the banking aspect of it. So, you know, people say, well, what if the federal government adds Texas to that list? Okay, well, first and foremost, how do you justify adding Texas to a list that includes North Korea, Syria, Iran, Cuba, or Belarus when we're not state sponsors of terrorism, right? Unless our vote is terrorism, right? Which I think that would be a difficult sell. But if they did, here's the thing to understand. Federal pension benefit payments into Texas are about $74 billion annually. I go back to the stat that I gave you earlier. Texas overpays anywhere from $103 to $160 billion annually into the federal system. That's money that goes in that we never see again. So if the federal government decided that they wanted to let grandma die in a ditch and not pay the federal pension benefit, then Texas could still cover all the chips on the table and still be able to reduce the tax burden on Texas citizens.
I love it. I love it. Richard in Washington, go ahead. I know you got a question. This is just, you know, burning up a lot of people's minds. Go ahead.
Two questions. The first one is, based on how we, quote unquote, vote and elect people and how corrupt that is, how are you going to get a true, honest election?
Okay, so let me take that first question, because I think it's important. Look, election integrity has been a huge issue for us since day one, because on our roadmap starting in 2005, the referendum has always been there. Article 1, Section 2 effectively dictates that we have to put this to a vote of the people. The people have to decide this question. So the referendum is a key thing for us. So for us, we have done a tremendous amount of advocacy work related to election integrity. In fact, the original draft of the Texas Independence Referendum Act that we proposed to the legislature specifies that it must be done on paper ballot and there must be risk-limiting audits, right? But beyond that, you know, even with paper ballots, you know, we've seen that there can be corruption in elections. So it is our intention to combat that in two ways. Number one, an aggressive voter contact program ahead of the referendum, right? We have to know who our people are with, you know, at least 75 to 80% certainty going into the polls. We need to know who they are. Additionally, we need to leverage that into a massive get out the vote campaign so we know that those people go to the polls and we can tick them off a list. That way, and just so you know, that's not our plan. I mean, it is our plan now, but we didn't create that. We actually saw that plan used in Serbia to topple Slobodan Milosevic, and that's a whole other conversation that we can have. But the other part is we're in the process of training volunteers right now to be election and poll watchers, right? Our goal is 35,000 volunteers by the time the Texas referendum hits the ballot so that we can put effectively three at every polling location to act as our eyes and ears to ensure that if it is on a paper ballot, in fact, that we are getting a fair and free vote of the people on this issue.
I wish you luck, and I hope the best, because corruption seems to be the rampant perspective of today's world. But the second thing is, everybody lives in Washington, D.C. now. We're all capital letters. We use the zip codes. Basically, we're living in Washington, D.C. There's no people or very few people living in Texas these days. Have you considered that aspect of things?
Well, look, the only way we're going to be able to address issues like this is to ultimately get our independence, right? And I know it sounds super simplistic, but I think people underestimate how much of the challenges that we deal with originate in Washington District of Criminals or Mordor on the Potomac. I mean, you call it whatever you want to, but so many of the issues that we face, and we can debate things like you're talking about. We can debate the border. We can debate immigration. We can debate monetary policy. But understand, until Texas becomes a free, self-governing, independent nation, we ultimately have no decision-making power on those issues. We could, as Texans, or you're in Washington, right? We could, in any of our states, 100% agree, right? We cuss, discuss, debate. And we could come to a complete consensus on a particular issue, and tomorrow that issue can be overridden at the stroke of a pen by some unelected, unaccountable federal judge, some faceless bureaucrat from some unknown federal agency, or, you know, some of those malcontents up there in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. So, you know, the real way that we even can begin to address things like you're talking about is to reclaim our right of self-government.
Well, that's it, and I fully agree that. But how many people know we're in martial law now? We, quote-unquote, are in an emergency situation. The country itself is bankrupt, and we, the people, are no longer we, the people, because we have bought into a system that makes us residents of Washington, D.C. I mean, those issues, you know, are going to prevent the reality of what you want to do, as far as I can see. You know, I wish you luck. I hope you're the best, and I would do anything I could to support you. But I don't see how you can overcome all the things that are stacked against you.
Richard, I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, I'm glad you asked it, Daniel. I'm going to cut in here real quick because of the fact that, you know, sure, when this program is over and it goes to the email blast, You're going to see my Texit QR code in there, and all you got to do is click on that and sign up and become a supporter. And that is how you reach out and touch someone. And the more those people that you can touch with that QR code, the more people get educated. And that is how we wake up America. That's my answer. Daniel, what's yours?
Well, look, I have a decidedly different opinion, right? And I respect where you're coming from, right? That the problems are insurmountable. But my fundamental disagreement, and this, you know, with the caller, is that people need to know all these things. Look, I don't need to know the name of the body of water to know that I'm drowning, right? I mean, that's it. I don't need to know that I'm in the Atlantic, the Indian Ocean, or Lake of the Pines. It does not matter. And that's where people are right now. Look, you have to remember, and I go back to the poll numbers, when you have 66% of likely voters in Texas ready to vote for Texas, they don't care about all of these. They understand that there is a fundamental problem, and they understand independence is the solution. And so, yeah, most people are asking a lot of these questions because they want to know. They want a deeper dive. They're kind of academic by and large. But at the end of the day, we're at a tipping point among the electorate, not just here in Texas, but many other places, where they don't care. They don't care what the obstacles are. They don't care. They just know that they want the problem solved. They're tired of nipping at the branches, and they're ready to cut it off at the root. And that's where the people of Texas are. So, look, we're on a trajectory to inevitably see Texas as a self-governing independent nation. The only thing we're debating right now, the only thing that's in question, is the time scale. And the more we work and the more people we have working this issue, that are working the plan, the shorter that time scale becomes.
There you have it. Richard in Washington, thanks so much. We appreciate your call. I got another caller from Washington, Esther, from the Spokane area, listening to us on the radio in Spokane, Washington. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for, again, bringing great, great radio. I have a comment which leads, obviously, to a question. So the comment is, right now, our constitutional foundation in our nation is profusely bleeding. It, from the repeated wounds of the elites, the Democrats, globalists, and China. Persons like Terry Lake, Marjorie Taylor Greene, along with so many others and groups, are working faithfully to bring the nation back to our constitutional foundation. So would it not be more prudent to put all of Texas' efforts to combat this national war that the United States of America is fighting for our Constitution to be reinstated as it originally was, and to bring a semblance of peace to our country again? And then, when we are stabilized, then begin cessation, the procedure, starting the cessation from the nation right now. Literally, you're adding more chaos to the insanity soup. You know, when we have a united front, we win. When we start separating and using our time and energy, we destroy that united front. And that's exactly what the enemies want us to do. Wait, be prudent, be patient. That's my comment. So please comment on that. Thank you.
Okay. Esther, I think I know. Thanks for your call. I think I know how Daniel will answer it, but I can tell you right now, the insane asylum is in D.C., and I served during NUM, and I took the same oath every other vet did, to uphold the Constitution, protect and defend it from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And since we have deep state and everything else coming at us right now, and most of the rank and file, rhinos included, want status quo, I don't see any change. And no matter how much Marjorie Taylor Greene and everybody else fights this national fight, when it all comes down to the state and self-determination, this is a Texas collective thing that the federal government is not going to be able to answer to, because the federal government has created such a mess for itself There is no way that any of the 50 states can survive in my book. I'll let Daniel take over from here.
Yeah, look, the states are in an existential crisis, and some of them are fine with ceding their sovereignty and their individual identity. But, you know, look, there's so much to chew on there. You know, first and foremost, the United States of America is not a nation. The United States of America is a federative republic that is bound together by a political document called the United States Constitution. And so, you know, after being at this for 26 years, I've literally heard that very same argument over and over and over about, why don't you just pour your efforts into fixing the federal government? Well, how many would-be political messiahs have we been treated to, right, that have come on the scene that said, I am here and I'm going to fix this. Now tell me, for 26 years, has it gotten any better? Because it hasn't, right? Our border is worse than it has ever been. The immigration crisis is worse than it's ever been. The debt, I mean, can you imagine what the debt was in 1996 when I started? It's $30 trillion, not to mention over $120 trillion of unfunded liabilities, right? Everything by every metric has gotten worse. And so all of this talk, you got a choice. You can preserve a political institution called the United States of America. You could preserve that federal system, or you can stand up for the principles that the Constitution was supposed to embody that federal system abandoned a long time ago. You can give up the identity of your state. And look, that may be fine for Washington, right? But that's not fine for Texas. Texas will always be Texas, and we will always fight to maintain what we are. And we will never sacrifice our principles for political expediency. We will never say that we will sacrifice Texas just so we can have 435 people up there in the House of Reprehensibles just because that's the way that it's always been done. Texas stood up to a dictator who overthrew the Constitution in 1836, and that's what we're going to do now. Back then, it was over a cannon, and it was done at the Battle of the Alamo, and now it will be done at the ballot box by asking the people of Texas the question, should the state of Texas reassert its status as an independent nation? And frankly, while that's fine, other states need to be having this conversation too. Look, and if they choose that that's what they want to do, that's their business. But each group of people in each state constitute a separate body politic that need to make the decision about how they are governed. Because at the moment we abandon that concept of being individual body politic in each individual state, you abandon state sovereignty, you have effectively surrendered to the centralists in Washington, D.C., and they have already won. It's time to get off this stupid merry-go-round, reclaim our right of self-government, and be the free people that we were meant to be, that believe that rights come from God and not government, that believe in the principles of sound borders. We are the counterpoint to globalism, and if we don't win here, we will be subsumed by neo-Marxist globalists that will put us under their thumb, and future generations will not know freedom. They will have no concept of it. They will have social credit scores. They will be subject to the climate religion, and they will have their lives centrally planned by a bunch of bureaucrats that couldn't find the rights if they were stapled to their butt with both hands tied behind their back. They will be slaves to a system that is anathema to us. And if we abrogate this responsibility now, then shame on us.
Well put, sir. Alan in Texas, by the way, the Fredericksburg local coordinator, Steve Rose, has been working diligently to set up a meetup. It's tonight. If you go to texitnow.org and look up events, you can find that event in Fredericksburg tonight from 5:30 to 7. I'm telling you, these people are getting very aggressive. We have a training coming up next month. I'm going to be there. And this is for all local coordinators in the state. Understand that the district directors right now have a huge mission, besides the fact that they are working with the actual senators in the state of Texas. You see, in order for this to succeed, what Daniel just said is you've got to get the mainstream convinced, and you've got to find the people that are plugged in and get them actively involved. And every state like he just said, needs to have this conversation. And if they're not having the conversation, it's because everybody in that state, just like New York, voting Jerry Nadler back in power. Maloney's out, Nadler's in. I mean, you vote this stuff in, you get what you vote for. I mean, if you people want to wallow in squalor in the same federal system, then don't do anything. Sit on your butt and let it happen. This is part of the problem. This is one of the reasons why we're here. Richard in Washington, you had another question?
On the last information, the United States of America and the state of Texas are corporations. They're not states. We're in martial law. I mean, you have to thoroughly explore the reality of the issues before you can get anywhere. And my question is, have you explored those issues?
Okay, well, turn that over to Daniel. Well, obviously, you've thought this out. This has been thought out over time. So,
yeah, I mean, look, I mean, not to be weird about this, but let me just say, I mean, I led off by saying today is literally the 26th anniversary. We did not fall off the turn of truck yesterday. We have thoroughly explored every single solitary issue, and it's why we founded the TNM to do what we do. And look, let me just say, if that's your issue, go do that issue. Look, you do you, right? But as for the Texas Nationalist Movement, our mission is to secure and protect the political, cultural, and economic independence of the nation of Texas, to secure and protect a constitutional republic and the inherent rights of the people of Texas. And that has embodied itself not only in legislative progress, but in a supermajority of the people of Texas ready to see Texas reassert its status as an independent nation. We will continue to work that plan. We will go out there and we will save people that feel like they are drowning in a federal cesspool by giving them and restoring to them the right of self-government. And frankly, if people want to deal with those issues, there are places they can go to. There are organizations for that. You know, and I say the same thing about gun rights and everything else. There are places people can go. But we will not sidetrack ourselves by going down rabbit holes that have absolutely nothing to do with giving the right of self-government back to the people. And I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that is not us. We have a mission that we're on. We're saving the people of Texas from a federal government that wants to crush them into powder by returning and restoring to them the right of self-government. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
Well, and see, the thing is that even my show notes are fairly drawn out enough to understand about Texas peacefully exiting the union by a popular vote as a negotiated divorce without the need for civil war, without the need for another Alamo or San Jacinto or anything like that. People have to understand, we look back in history and the sacrifices our forefathers made so that we could be free. And we're so willing to just give up, no hope, don't do anything, sit on your butt. What's in it for me? I mean, a lot of it, you know, we have Texas legislators out there that we are working with, seriously, that agree with everything Daniel is talking about here. And that number in the legislature is growing, especially in the Republican Party. But we also have Democrats and independents that want it too, right?
Yeah, look, that supermajority, that 66%, is not just Republicans. I mean, that's all Texas voters. And we've seen these numbers grow. Look, this is what I refer to as a transpartisan issue, right? The issue of self-government transcends all the normal partisan divides, right? So, I tell people all the time, in the legislature and among voters, this issue cuts weird. Because it defies partisan explanation. It defies those normal dividing lines that people want to put on us. And it's one of the reasons that the total, you know, demographics of the TNM more closely resemble that of Texas as a whole than either major political party. And it's one of the reasons the opposition absolutely hates us, because they can't make their pigeonholing stick on us. Which is great. I love it. And we're going to continue to ride this all the way to victory. We're going to go win.
That's the ambition. That's the objective. Now, here again, folks, when you get your email blast, I have sent my QR code to the producer. She's going to put the QR code in the email blast. And all you have to do is scan with your cell phone that QR code and sign up. And then you get into the website, you create a username and a passcode, and you can support the movement because we need to raise a sum certain to make this happen. And we have support from all over the United States, believe it or not. That may be hard to fathom, but there are people outside of the state of Texas that are financially supporting the cause and have become supporters because they see if this happens in one state, what's to stop other states like Virginia and New Mexico and places like that from thinking and doing the same thing we've set an example for? We're still a nation of states, no matter what happens at the polls. However, in order to break loose and have self-determination, you have to become your own country. And if the Constitution has been abrogated time and time again, and you have the power to change things, the question then becomes, why not and what are you waiting for? So, Daniel Miller, I thank you so much. I mean, this hour has been exciting. I thank all of the callers up there because you've got all sorts of different ideas and stuff. Texitnow.org. If you want answers to the questions, go there. Click on the links. Support the cause. And in the meantime, here's a bit of encouraging news. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. And God bless Texas.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.